10. Jesus has called himself in verse 14, the Good Shepherd. And he's saying it, I believe, in contrast of what the others are that the sheep have to deal with. He identified them here, people that he called robbers and thieves and hirelings. And last week I dealt with what their object was, what their main business was, these wolves in sheep's clothing. I want to go back into that thought again for a few minutes. I really want to just preach on I am, when Jesus said, I am the Good Shepherd in verse 14. I believe he's identified himself as the one that's the true shepherd. These other men are that's got into the church in a subtle, deceptive way. You notice he says they entered in. He that entered in not by the door. Jesus says down here, I am the door. But these entered in not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way. And so these people, these men that entered into the house of God as a spurious or a false kind of shepherd, where Jesus says, I am the shepherd. And so these men are trying to present themselves as shepherds and are very successful. They managed to get in to the house of God. They managed to take over a lot of churches and could I say, deceive many people. The Bible warns the last days. The first thing after the disciples asked Jesus about what will happen these last days. You know his first statement? You'll find it in Matthew 25. You'll find it in the book of Luke also. First statement. After the disciples ask, what about these last days? He says, be not deceived. He says, there'll be deception in that day. And so we have a fulfillment of the prophecy. We have fulfillment of what Jesus has given here, that there'll be people that'll come into the church with the object of actually trying to destroy the church. Now, the church is not a business. You don't operate it as a business. You don't order it as a business. A church is the ministry of God. The church is the called out assembly. It's not the called out business. We don't do business with the world. We do worship with God and receiving instructions in righteousness in the house of God and fellowship with the people of God. But these men enter into that somehow. And he says they climb in another way, some other way. They climb in through going to colleges and universities, getting their degree as a preacher, and not being called of God. They got in another way. They didn't come by the way of the door, that is the Lord Jesus Christ. They weren't given their credentials by him. They just entered in. And they're not shepherds. They're not true men. They're not real people. They're not honest people. They're not people called by God. They don't know the Father like Jesus says, I know the Father and the Father knows me. These men don't know the Father. These men don't know God. And so they're men that come in with the way of deceiving people. And they're out to destroy them, as I dealt with it last week. I'm saying you have it in our day. They're out to scatter their wolves that people look to and listen to and believe because of their credentials or the way they present it, the way people think that is. I was reading an article the other day, and it said a preacher can. And I wanted to challenge this guy, but the more he got done, I thought, maybe you're right. He said a preacher can preach this week in a Baptist church, next week in a Pentecostal church, the next week in a Presbyterian church, and he named about four or five other churches, and he said he would have no problem if he knew the accepted cliches and statements people make about the Bible. He said he'd have no problem preaching in any one of these denominations. And how could that be? That's because of the trend of our day, that what is generally accepted by the public as religious. And so regardless of whether the person is a man of God, who he is, regardless of what he preaches, he'll be accepted and welcomed. And one of the main reasons why is people don't know their Bible. The Bereans even checked Apostle Paul, what he preached, whether those things be so. These men can come in another way with no problem. They can preach lies, and people will say, amen. Boy, that was a good message. Oh, my. I've told you time and time again about the one that read out of a second-year psychology book. And the woman that was with her mother said, boy, that was a good message. And when she told her, it wasn't even in the Bible. But she thought it was a good message because the man was very eloquent and the man was able to impress. We're easily, if we don't know the Bible, if you don't have a standard to weigh it in, if you don't have a general concept of what Jesus, what I read here in John 15 today, if you don't have, can I say, a spirit in you that accepts the Bible without what man says. You don't have to bring in, well, what so-and-so thinks, and this is what this man believes, and this is what this preacher believes, and this. If you just have a general open heart acceptance of the Bible, can I say to you, man won't deceive you. But if you trust men, if you just trust men by their way they present their message, their knowledge of the Word of God. There was a preacher named Fosdick, and he was a strong, straight, hard preacher. I'm telling you, you'd sit there and say, man, my, that guy preached hard, straight, gun barrel straight, and they thought he was mean. He preached that way a number of years, drew a big crowd. And overnight, he started preaching everything that contradicted what he used to believe. He contradicted the virgin birth. He even contradicted the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. A man that for years preached the Bible. And everybody, oh, hey, man, that man's good. I can't charge you enough to get a general understanding of your Bible. Let the Word of God dwell in you. Let the Word of God dwell in you richly to where it consumes you. It controls you. I mean, when somebody says anything about a doctrine that the Bible is given out, said something about the doctrines that Jesus gives us here, well, it ain't that way. It's this way. Those verses ought to pop in your mind. The Holy Ghost of God breathed you and say, no, that isn't the way it is. You and I, it's just what I read in John 15. Without Jesus, we can do nothing. Without his presence, without his support, without his wisdom, without his understanding of the Word of God given to us, guiding us into all truth, you have to do what won't work, that is trust yourself. Jeremiah, I believe it's 26, it says, it's not in man to know the way. I'm saying to you, you and I need help. You and I need support. You and I need understanding. These men crept in, and their whole object was to destroy people. It says, the thief cometh not. He doesn't come to help. He doesn't come to help the sheep. He cometh not, verse 10, but for to steal, to kill, and destroy. Jesus contradicts and shows the contrast. I am come that they might have life. They come to kill. Jesus comes to give life. You know as well as I'm standing here and you're breathing God's air that there's preachers out there that sound good. God didn't miss it. He said there's a way that seemeth right unto man. And it will. These particular type of men are very capable. This is the crowd back in 2 Corinthians that can be preachers of righteousness. Let me read it to you in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, I believe it is. It says in verse number 13, for such are false apostles. Notice, false apostles, deceitful workers. Verse 13, chapter 11, 2 Corinthians, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And it's no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. No wonder he can deceive the world. He can look good. He can look right. The devil, as an angel of light. You wonder why. I mean, you wonder why the Bible warns you so often. I challenge you, just look up the word deceived. How many times the Bible speaks of it. I'm saying to you, you wonder why the Bible says try the spirits, whether they're of God or not. You won't detect it a lot of times. I admitted it, I believe, last week. I'll say it again. Boy, I've been taken off. I mean, I've been hoodwinked, you might say, for a while. And I'm ashamed of it. I ought to know better to allow a man to say some things that, I mean, it's like the Spirit says, no. But yet it sounds so good. Or yet it seems right. Let us appealing. It's really swells my intellect to be able to grasp that. Man, my, that is good. Men's wisdom is so deceptive that there's more people that believe a lie than what believe the truth. Therefore, verse 15 of 2 Corinthians 11, therefore it is no great thing if his ministers, and this is what we're talking about, these thieves, robbers, hirelings. A hireling isn't called of God. You'd think he is. He don't care. These people don't care about you. They don't care about you. They want you to think they're a good shepherd. That's why Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. Not them. He is. He says, therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers, the devil's ministers, also be transformed as ministers of righteousness. Transformed as ministers of righteousness. They're going to preach right living. They're going to preach on clean living. I could name an occult right here now that probably would make us look bad when it comes to their righteous kind of life. In fact, none of us match the Pharisees, except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees. None of us pray as many times as the Pharisees did. Or walked uprightly like they did, clothed themselves, blinded themselves from sight they ought not look at. The Seventh-day Adventists, there's a lot of their doctrines that make us look like we really don't believe that we need to maintain a clean life, a clear life. They go way out on some things, but boy, I mean, some things, they are strict. Really strict in the Christian life, the life of righteousness. yet they're wrong, yet they're deceived. And they have thousands of people, yea, many thousands of people that believe they're preaching the truth. They're preaching what a deceived woman named Ellen White started that church from, hallucinations. And you can follow the history of the church. But yet have a great big church. Do you know who goes to those churches? Doctors, lawyers, professors. Why? It sounds very intellectually. It sounds good. My. That's these robbers and thieves and hirelings that's come in, that's transformed themselves, changed themselves, educated themselves, learned what you need to say and what not to say, learned how to deceive people. It's an art. It's an art that you can learn and not even realize that that's what you're doing. So Jesus, I believe, in our text is clarifying this thing. I read last week in Acts where Paul said these kind of people will spring up in your churches, and certainly that's what they've done. Look back to our text. Jesus said in verse 14, and I believe he's coming out directly in contrast, refuting what these others are doing and saying, he comes out with, I am. It's the same I am that when Moses went into Egypt and he cried out, what am I going to say? He said, say the I am sent you. The Almighty One, the All-Knowing One, the All-Eternal One. The one that rules and reigns, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one God gave all the power unto, all authority. You'll find that in the last few verses of Matthew. All authority, all power is given unto me, Jesus said. All authority, all judgments given unto the Lord Jesus Christ. He's raised him up, exalted him. And you'll see why here is because he laid down his life for the sheep. And you'll notice why that would just set him as such an example that the Father exalted him. The Father, as the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I am lay down my life for the sheep. And others, no, jump down to verse 70. I'll deal with 16. Therefore doth my Father love me because I lay down my life that I might take it up again. He's exalted because of his obedience. He learned. That always, I'd read that in the book of Hebrews, that it says of Jesus, he learned obedience. I'm not talking about somebody, I'm talking about Jesus Christ. He learned obedience. I don't know all the answers to that, but I believe it. I believe it was a process. And certainly, when he got to that garden, and he started pleading, Lord, Father, is there any other way we can do this? No. He knew what he was facing. He knew what was going to happen to him. He knew the Father even was going to turn his head. He's going to show his distaste for the whole load of sin that was put on the Lord Jesus Christ, the sins of the whole world. He knew that. Is there any other way? No. No. Thy will be done. Went on to be crucified. I'm saying he is the I am. He's the one, that you read about that has, as I say in Matthew 28, 16 through 18, he has all power given unto him. He is one. These others that commend the thieves and the robbers weren't responsible for the flock. They didn't care about the flock. The Bible tells you in verse 12, it says, and he that is a hireling and not a shepherd, whose own sheep are not, he doesn't own them, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. I've watched over the years, 50 some years of preaching, and I've watched preachers leave churches, and it's actually a curse on them that leave a church and scatter the flock because they found some green grass over here, maybe more money, a bigger church, a better, more recognition. And so the sheep are scattered. I want you to know the Lord don't take that lightly when you scatter his sheep. When you show no love or concern or care for him, he said, I am the good shepherd. And he says, and know my sheep and am known of mine. He's the one that cares for them, watches over them. He said, I'll tell you how much I love my sheep. I'll lay down my life for them, offer them a sacrifice where they might be saved. I'm saying to you, I am everything you'll ever need. All things in Jesus we find, we say. I'm saying he is everything. He supplies our need. He watches over us in the night. He said, I never slumber, never sleep. Got my eye on you. He said, I'll never leave you. My, that's the I am. He said, I'll never leave you. I am the good shepherd. You'll only find goodness in God. He goes about doing good, and he goes about doing good in your life. I don't know how much you acknowledge it often, how he spares your life. Jimmy and Kathy were thankful that the deer didn't cause more damage and could have made a bad, worst accident. I'm saying that God watch over you. A lot of times you don't see it and recognize it. You'll be coming down the highway and that guy, a woman coming at you, somebody's got a phone up, hold it down here, looking over at the phone. And all of a sudden they get back over on their side of the road. Could have hit you doing 50, 60 miles an hour. You say, thanks. You praise him. I am the good shepherd. He's the one that King David wrote about. The Lord is my shepherd. You really don't have to go much farther than this. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. You don't have to go no farther. I won't want for a thing. He gives me everything I need. My, you think of the years God has blessed you with health or strength or carried you through a sickness, through a trial, a close brush with death. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And then he begins to explain, he'll never want for these things. Though I go through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll not want for help. I won't want for somebody to give me some kind of a drug to keep me from dying. I won't want. I'll be ready. He's going with me. He promised to go with me through the valley of the shadow of death. I'm the good shepherd. I'll go all the way with you. I won't forsake you. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. You're never alone. I'm watching you. I know you fathom these things, what he is for us. I'm saying he's always caring. He's always watching over. He proves his love to you. I'm saying he's one that I don't know whether it's possible to explain the love of God. We've got the word love so confusing and mixed up. Love everything. Got where people love animals more than people. That's a strange love. It's not a Bible love. But Jesus, we sing the song, I am so glad that Jesus loves me. You want to pray that sometime. You want to get praying and just work on that thought in your prayer. You might even, while you're praying, sing that little song. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. And begin to pray. Lord, I want to understand your love for me more. I know it's way beyond my simple mind to comprehend the love of God. I'm not able to really enter into that realm and clearly embrace the wonders of God's love for me. Even while I was yet a sinner, Christ died for me. And just start praying, oh God, help me to understand, help me to be able to receive a clear picture of your love for me, unworthy as I am of the least of your mercies. Show me, teach me how I could love you too, like I ought, with all my heart, with all my mind, with all my soul, with all my strength, that I can love you as you love me. How could I express it? How could I fathom it? How could I understand it with the mind I have, with this vast God so loved the world? I'm saying to you that God is good. He is a good shepherd. He's been good to you. He's been good to me. I'm saying his watchful care. I believe his love for you deserves a little worship, don't it? A little thanks. Ought to praise him. Vicki last night, she comes to the prayer meeting now. She wrote me a list. She says, how do you praise him? What do you say? And all she asked me a bunch of questions that I was trying to help her deal with it. And she said she wants to know how to praise God right. I thought, glory to God. Sandy, you recognize how good he is to you. If you'd acknowledge that, if it really sink into you, if you'd look back over the history of your life and look out back where you could have been today, look where he found you and dug you out of the pit of sin, set your feet on a rope and established your goings. Look where you could have been. I'm saying to you, he's a good shepherd. He's good to you. He watches over you. He loves you. He cares for you. He supplies for you. He never forsakes you. And he's coming for you. You think about it. I go to prepare a place for you. He's providing a home for us to where we can live with him eternally. You're looking at this world, you see it's about ready to implode. If you'll think of how close we are to eternity in the coming of the Lord, The Bible tells us that if he didn't cut the time short, man would destroy himself. He's having to cut it short. I don't know how short. I don't know what he's cutting off. But you know as well as I know that they are ready. They're sitting in the silos all around this world. Missiles that can destroy whole nations. Just ready to be sent. Ready to be fired. And yet he's waiting for you. He's not willing. Are you listening to me? He's not willing that any should perish. The word perish means to go to hell. That's how much he loves you. He's long-suffering. He's wanting to draw you into salvation. He's a good shepherd. He really is. He said, I am the good shepherd. I'm the one that will go with you all the way. I'll be there. I'll give you. You ever get one? I'll give you a song in the middle of the night. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. I thought about, I don't know, it was this morning or yesterday. I said, Lord, when I die, I want to die like Paul. I want to die in the joy of the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. Peace in my heart and just joy in my heart that God has watched over me, give me these extra years. They're extra years God's blessed me with. And I praise his name. I can recommend him. He's a good shepherd. Let me just say one little statement about this verse that says here, and other sheep I have which are not of this fold. You listen to, men will guess at that. It's crazy. I've heard them say, maybe from another planet. Is that wild? God so loved the world. Just one. Who's the other sheep, preacher? Well, who's he talking to? This is so simple, it's not hard to figure it out. Who's he talking to? He's talking to Jews. That's who he's talking to. He went to his own. He's talking to the Jews. Who's the other sheep that's coming to the fold? They hadn't ministered to him yet. You and me, Gentiles. That's the other sheep of this fold. He's a good shepherd. He even grafted us in. Give us a hope of salvation. God, that song is, God is still good. Amen, amen, amen. Let's stand. Make this apply to your life. Accept what I said a few minutes ago. He's still calling today. He's still got the door open. He's watching and waiting. And he's praying for you. He's a good shepherd. He really is. I pray you'll think about that. I pray that you'll consider your ways if you're not ready to meet God. I pray you'll I pray you'll consider the day and the time. The Bible even tells us in Luke,
lift up your heads,
for your redemption draweth nigh. Get ready. Get ready. You never know who you're preaching to as far as what could be. It could be the last message they ever hear. Could be the last message I ever preach. And so I want to be faithful. I want to be faithful to tell you God is long-suffering. And he really wants to save you. He says he has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. He doesn't enjoy people going to hell. He'd much rather see them get saved. Consider your destiny. The psalmist even asked, Lord, tell me of my end, that I may know how frail I am. He begged for that. Show it to me. Help me to see it. Help me to understand it. I want to know my end so I'll really recognize and acknowledge just how frail my life is. I can't boast myself of another day. I've got no guarantee. What's going to happen tomorrow? Tell me. God help us. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray you go with us as we go to our homes. I pray protect, watch over each one. I pray the grace of the hand of God to be on them. I pray the call of God to be upon their soul. I pray that you take you seriously. You mean what you say, and you do what you say. Our God is faithful, and I thank you for it. Touch the lives of these that's sick. I pray, strengthen them, I pray. Call the lost. Strengthen the saints of God, I pray. Help us to be people that are determined that we're going to serve you, live for you. We're going to stand, having done all to stand in this evil day, and watch for your coming. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen. You are dismissed.